Hi, everyone. So apparently I was jumped the gun a little bit and didn't realize we weren't live yet. So I'm going to go ahead and restart. For those of you steering committee members that were in the pre-conference, just bear with me. We have to start over for the audience members that were not in the pre-conference. So this is the Resource Use Steering Committee conference call. I've already done a brief roll call. In the interest of time, I'm not going to repeat that. But we may, as I mentioned during the pre-conference, circle back to that roll call for the people who may have trickled in since we did the initial tally there. So this is our first conference call since the closing of the white paper comment period. And our meeting objectives today primarily is to discuss and come to consensus on the resource use evaluation criteria. It will go to the CSAC for review and approval on November 3rd and 4th. As part of the white paper comment period, the criteria was actually Appendix B. So we'll get into more details about that. But that's our primary goal in the interest of our timeline to make sure that that moves forward. And secondarily, we want to, for the time that we have left over from that, to address some of the other comments that were submitted on the white paper and hopefully identify some responses to some of those comments that need your input. So as far as the project activities to date, we have, since the white paper comment period, obviously we posted that for comment mid-September. That ended October 12th. We received approximately 130 comments from various organizations. That includes, you know, the way we've counted the comments, I say approximately because we've got letters that were more obviously longer than one comment box could hold. So, but we got quite a few and a nice response to the paper. We've also been working on the evaluation criteria and measure submission forms, circulating that with measure developers, and working internally on the making sure that we have an online tool for the measure submissions to go through when we do the call for measures. So, as I mentioned, the evaluation criteria was Appendix B of the white paper, so there was comments that we received on that as well. We did a series of measure developer feedback calls with developers that we have relationships with. That included Thomson Reuters, Prometheus, ABMS, NCQA, Sally or Sarah, help me out if I'm missing anyone.
NGINX.
In those feedback sessions, we provided them with the measure submission items list, a version that we provided you. Obviously, the email that I sent yesterday, as an addition to the materials, was the submission items list with the comments received from the measure developers. And so you can kind of see the type of feedback that we received. In general, they had very good feedback on that, and gave us some really good insight on ways to improve and expand on language and so forth. Let's see. We also had a measure developer webinar that we offer on behalf of NQF quarterly to the measure developer community. We were on the agenda for the last call to give an update on the project, where we were, and to just kind of let the measure developer community know that the call for measures was coming up and to solicit any interest in participating in the feedback session calls that we had.
Kevin, please call the front desk.
And so that went well as well. So we also continue to work on the online submission tool internally with our IT team, and we're moving forward with that as well. An updated timeline, obviously we're meeting today. As I mentioned, we plan to take the evaluation criteria to the CSAC for review on November 3rd and 4th. And we will send, when we have the agenda finalized for that CSAC meeting, it'll be on one of those days. It won't be on both days. We'll send it out to all of you for those of you who like to dial in to the conference call and listen to the discussion about the criteria. So we'll keep you posted on how that goes. After the CSAC review.
CSAC? What is that?
The Consensus Standards Approval Committee. They are the somewhat the oversight body that kind of manages and approves the projects that the measures that come through, as well as projects that kind of deal with operational guidance provided to NQF. So,
thanks.
Okay. After the CSAC reviews the criteria and provides any comments, you know, we may have to come back and make some edits or consult some of the committee members. But barring any major changes that will need to happen after that, it will hopefully go to the board for review by the end of November. Our deadline for submission of the final white paper to HHS is November 30th. And our call for measures has been pushed out to January 2011. We've had some reorganization of the projects and how they're going to move forward. And it actually gives us a little bit more time to get the submission form finalized and functional for online use for the measure developers before the call for measure. So that's where we are right now with the project timeline. Any questions about that, where we are, where we're going?
I guess the question is what we hope to accomplish today.
Right.
In terms of where we go and where we're going.
Right, and we're going to circle back to that in just a second. Sally, did I miss anything or you want to add anything?
Sounds great, thanks.
Okay.
Ashley, hi, this is Jeff Rich. I'm sorry I joined you a little bit late.
Hi, no problem. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks.
I'm going to hand it over to Bruce shortly. As I mentioned in the early in the call, our primary goal for today is to review the steering committee, review the evaluation criteria comments that we received during the comment period. We sent several attachments to you via email, so I'm going to refer you, for those of you that don't have access to the webinar, I'm actually going to be pulling any documents that we need up on the screen, but for those of you that are not in front of the computer, we're just going to point out a few documents you may want to have accessible to you for the discussion that will follow. That will be the Commenting Resource Use Evaluation Criteria, Version 6, Appendix B. That is actually essentially the criteria that was the Appendix B to the white paper. We'll be referring to that in part of the discussion. In the memo that we sent, there is a summary of the themes of the comments that we received. You want to have that accessible. And I also want to bring your attention to the attachment that we sent yesterday, which is the resource use submission items list. This is the file name that was sent, Eval Criteria SC Review Version 1. That is essentially the list, the submission items list that has all the items that will be requested from the measure developers to demonstrate the criteria, that they've met the criteria. That we thought that might be helpful for you to kind of put the pieces together. While the criteria kind of gives you an idea of how the measures will be evaluated, we thought the submission items really kind of provides that missing piece of what you will be evaluating and what we're asking them to submit so that you can determine whether or not the criteria have been met. So you may just want to have those available for reference throughout the discussion. And at this point, I'm going to hand it over to Bruce. What we've done is we've put the themes that we pointed out, that we've pulled out of the comments that were received on the criteria. Those are on the slides, but they're also in the memo as well. They may be in a slightly different order, should be essentially in the same order, but the titles are there if you need to refer to them. So,
right.
Bruce, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay, this is Bruce. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can. Okay.
Yes.
I've been trying to. Before going on to the criteria, could you summarize a little bit for us the nature of your conversations with the measure developers, both the individual organizations that you talked to and then the comments that you got, and particularly what indication do you have that the developers do, in fact, intend to submit measures? If you'll recall our face-to-face meeting, there was some concern about whether the call for measures would yield very many measures. Could you give us a sense of what your expectations are?
Sure. This is Sally. Let me provide a little bit more information about those conversations. Initially, when we reached out to the measure developers earlier on in the process, Bruce is right, and as all of you recall, we weren't getting a clear signal on whether they anticipated they would submit measures under this resource use measurement project. During the time that we posted the white paper and the evaluation criteria, we did reach out to them again. So we had spoken to them earlier, gotten feedback on what we might need to consider, and it was in line much with what we heard from the committee, but it also included a request for us to review the submission form, that the current NQF submission form did not support how they envisioned they would, the kind of mechanisms they would need to submit the resource use measures. So during the public comment period, not only did we encourage them to submit through public comment, but we spent time with them looking at side-by-side the evaluation criteria that was posted and then the submission form that had come out of the work that all of you guided us through in the white paper. And during those conversations, they were exceptionally supportive. They indicated that they thought the submission form was in line with how they think of a construct of a resource use measure. My impression of their input was that the evaluation criteria seemed to be worded in a way and aligned with the submission form. Through that process, some of them who seemed a little bit hesitant about whether they would submit indicated to us, and this is, of course, just verbally, that they did anticipate submitting to this project later in this winter. Right now we're slated to go live in our system in January of 2011. As Ashley showed you in the timeline. And that included Prometheus. We spoke with Francois de Brontes, and he said that as far as he could tell, and, you know, his decision at the point would be that he would be submitting their measures. NCQA indicated the same. Ingenix, ABMS all stated that any measure that was sufficiently complete and tested, they anticipated they would be submitting. So quite a few of the major players that we know of in resource use are telling us that they plan on to submit and really liked the evaluation criteria as it had been reworded, you know, as much as we could adopt it, as well as the new submission form. They were very encouraged to see that we were reacting to how different resource use measures are.
Good. Thank you, Sally. What about, I know we had some discussion also about whether there might be submissions from other than the usual measure developers, ones that might be more inclined to submit resource use measures but not be in the quality measurement game.
Right. Yeah, we are definitely want to encourage them to submit as well. This was just of those that we were able to reach out to. We did contact some other measure developers who either did not have time to work with us during this time or we didn't hear back from. But certainly as we work with communications, and as Ashley stated, we'll be doing webinars specifically targeted to measure developers. We want to include as many as we can in the universe, so whoever we'll want to make sure that email list is complete that comes out of our communication department alerting them that the webinar is coming up, et cetera. So absolutely, we hope that others will submit as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I could add one thing, this is Helen Burston. I think, you know, one really important role for the committee would be to let us know who you think some of those people are beyond the usual suspects, so we can do the outreach as early as possible. The last thing you want to do is send them a call for measures with a, you know, fairly short turnaround time. The earlier we can get to them, the better. So your input here would be wonderful.
I think that was asked for at our face-to-face meeting, so I hope you already got some.
Yes, I remember a few, and we have them in our notes.
Okay.
But did those people get invited to the additional folks get invited to these briefings?
They did not, and it wasn't meant to preclude anyone, but we didn't have a lot of time, and so you know, we did try and make sure everyone was alerted to public comment, et cetera. So, but as far as spending a couple hours on the phone, we had to limit that scope to make sure we had time to dive into the details.
Well, so have they, but were they sent the, you know, the, given an opportunity to comment? In other words, were they informed of the, you know, in this comment period and all that?
That's a good question. We would have to look at the broad distribution list that comes out of communication. Ashley, do you have any input on that?
So I just suggested, I think it was the people who do the DCGs
right.
included.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether they got it. I'm just curious if they got invited.
I think, I believe that they're out of Hopkins. Is that right?
Yeah, but I think it's actually now some proprietary firm. I have this vague recollection that I sent you some information on this.
Yes, DXCGs was bought by a proprietary firm. Yeah, that's correct. And then we have the ACGs out of Johns Hopkins.
Right.
Yeah, DXCGs is actually in Boston. And I think I visited some place that owned them. It's been a few years, but I think they're a company up here.
Right.
Right.
Right. There's some bigger company that bought them, which is, you know, the trend. but I did. I'm pretty certain that I sent that information. I'm just hoping they got in the mailing list. I don't know whether I'm certain there are others that it's possible that there are others anyway that are overlooked, and we don't want to exclude them inadvertently.
No, you're right, and we'll circle back on look at the big list. I did Google them further to try and find the contact information, and I couldn't find one from our source, but maybe we'll look to see if it went at least at minimum to the
Well, my recollection was that I sent you contact information.
We'll have to double-check on that. I'm not sure, but as Sally was mentioning, I know there's a lot of organizations, umbrella organizations, that do get our communications, and sometimes we rely on that to be trickled down. But we'll have to follow up and see exactly who those emails went directly to. So.
Right.
Okay. Okay, how would you like to proceed?
I can go back to the slides. I had pulled up the submission form while Sally was talking about it, but I'll go ahead and switch back to the slides, and then you can take it from there first.
Okay.
Starting on slide 9.
What I have in front of me is the themes summary. And not what you have up there right now. So.
Okay. I'm sorry. I sent it to you earlier today, and I wasn't sure
right.
if you got that. But we can. It's very similar, Bruce. Actually, if you start at number 2, I think number 1 is the only one that may not be in the memo.
Okay.
Action quality. Okay.
Well, I.
Is it possible to send that memo to the CMS folks, Niall, at least? I don't think we got it.
Okay, yes.
Thanks.
So for the first one up on the screen, there was some comment about the evaluation criteria potentially being too ambiguous. And granted, this was posted without the submission form, which is where most of the changes have occurred to allow for the evaluation of resource use measures. And to have staff impression of this comment, it's important and interesting, and we like the idea to think about using some cases to demonstrate how the criteria will be applied and share, you know, work with some of the committee members and share with it to help the steering committee catch up to speed on how it might happen when we go live in January when we actually start getting the measures in. So we thought that that was a really good idea, and to the extent that we can do this, staff is very interested in providing some of that for both our learning and education.
Okay. Any discussion of that number, item 1 then?
Well, so I'm a little bit confused because on the agenda there were themes that we were going to discuss, 1 through 8, I thought, and now we have a different set of themes to discuss. So not tracking here with where we are in the documents.
They're the same, Paul. We did add this one because it was specific to the criteria. Some of the comments in the memo went beyond the criteria, but because we decided to shift our focus to focus on the criteria because that's our most immediate need at this point, it is a little bit different, as I mentioned. This one first one is an addition, but if you notice with connection to quality measures, it's the same going forward.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I have that same problem, and we're on board now.
So I'm a little bit fuzzy about how we would go about this. So they want examples, basic kind of worked examples of how something would be evaluated. Is that what we're talking about here?
My thought, and it's open to steering committee discussion, is that I think it's a great idea, and we'll work on it to share with the steering committee, not necessarily with the commenters. That, you know, thank you, that's a really great idea. We'll work through that. But the criteria are ambiguous because, as you know, even on the quality side, we don't like to be overly prescriptive in the criteria. We just want to make sure that we're looking that it's important, that it meets certain measurement properties that we've called out under scientific acceptability, reliability, validity, that it's usable both by those who want to implement it and those who are being measured, and that it's feasible, the data exists, et cetera. So there's judgment that comes into play for the steering committee as measures are submitted, and so we don't tend to be overly narrow and prescriptive in the criteria, so we allow room both for innovative measures and things that we might not expect and for the judgment of the expert panels and the steering committee.
Yeah, but the idea of using cases, that's for the edification of the steering committee, not to supplement the criteria.
That is my suggestion as staff in response to this.
Right.
That's a great idea, and we would like to do something like that for the steering committee, but we're not going to publish it.
Right, okay. So that I think that's good, not to publish it, because I think the example would be, you know, people might draw too much out of one example.
Right.
So the general question is, if people say that the criteria are ambiguous, that's not so helpful as opposed to if there's a particular, you know, word or sentence or phrase or particular thing that they say is ambiguous, we could look at that and see, is there greater clarity? But, you know, as a general issue, I don't think it's helpful. If there's a specific thing that's being pointed to, I think we should consider all of those and whether we want to leave it ambiguous or tighten it up, but not just to blow these off. You know, I would blow off the general comment because I don't think it's helpful. But if they have something specific, I think we ought to look at that. That reasonable? In other words, if there's a specific criteria they're saying is ambiguous, and I see some of those are listed here. So
we tried to pull them out when they were specific, but we just, because this comment came through and they had other comments, we wanted to make sure that we shared this idea of case examples and that there was still some of that comment that we're getting back. But we'll get into the more details as we move on. And again, these lists that we pulled are not to preclude you saying you found something also important in the table. We were just, given the volume of comments, we were just trying to do our best to bucket kind of themes that we for sure want input on.
Yeah, this is Jack Needleman. I also joined late. You know, the problem here is this comment is ambiguous. So, sorry.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, this is Phil Rich. I agree with Jack and the other comments. I don't find that comment useful without more stuff.
Okay, what about the third sub-item, using quality measure evaluation criteria as a foundation is not the best approach. Also somewhat ambiguous. Is that something that we need to discuss?
We discussed this pretty extensively this whole in our deliberation.
Right.
And one of the tenets of the Detroit Quality Alliance and the Quality Forum is to try to tie the two together. And my understanding was in our deliberations, if you couldn't find if there was enough variation, proceed with the resource. But when possible, there should be preference given to a quality metric. That's the way we're going. That's the way CMS is going to be going in 2018. So I think we should have more guns.
Yeah, that, I agree that we've discussed this at length already. And that's a good segue on to item two, if the committee members are prepared to go forward.
Yeah, and this is Barb Rudolph. As one of the people actually making this comment, and I know there were a number of consumer groups and other folks that also made it, our concern was that having this as a preference or requiring the submitter to list the measures that it would be tied with is actually amped up over what the measure developers had to do in the quality measures. It's like an additional requirement. So unless we're willing to go back to all the quality measure people and say, you now need to, you know, connect your quality measures with resource measures, which would be terrific, I feel like we're adding additional hurdles to the measure developers.
I mean, this is Ethan. I also, you know, understand the importance to linking to quality, but I think we're raising the bar too high this way. I mean, sometimes a banana is just a banana, and sometimes, you know, a measure of resource use or cost is just a measure of resource use and cost, and that's important and shouldn't preclude it from being seen as optimal.
This is Bruce. I agree with that. Staff, didn't you have an idea of how to respond to this? Or do you?
Actually, for this one, we really wanted input because what we heard earlier was to use the word preferred. I think we could change this to more just informational. If your measure is currently used or linked with existing endorsed quality measures, please list them. Is that something that resonates with the group?
Well, so this is Paul. I remember when we met in Washington arguing in favor of this and getting some consensus that if some quality measure was available, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an existing NQF one, but if somehow quality was also in the mix, that would be a better, all things being equal, would be a better resource use measurement than one that didn't have include quality. Because, you know, the problem is we don't know whether the high cost is the appropriate cost or not, and any measure that can let us know that it's the high cost is an inappropriate cost is definitely head and shoulders above other measures. So I think it's an important thing to include as an option. And I like what you wrote in what you said in the proposal, that just clarify that it's not a requirement.
The problem there, though, is, this is Barb again, is that when you actually get into technical advisory panels and steering committee deliberations, these things can be, you know, enough if someone doesn't particularly like a measure because it might have impact on them personally or whatever. These kinds of extra requirements can result in much more ambiguous application of the criteria. Anyway, so I just feel like it's raising the bar. It's more than what any of the other quality metrics have had to go through. And, you know, really want to limit scope that much.
Yeah. This is Jack. You know, it feels to me like this discussion ties back to the extensive discussion we had about resource measures versus efficiency measures.
Oh, yeah.
And where we were saying, you know, an efficiency measure would have a link to quality, because the question is, are you buying more, spending more and buying more, or are you spending less and getting as much or more? And we said that while moving down the road, we wanted to be really looking at efficiency measures. That was the relevant measure. We thought it would. I thought the consensus in the group was that was premature at this point. that these were resource measures. We knew that they were going to be incompletely linked to measures of value or quality. And that was okay at this point, that we were on a journey that would get us to quality measures. And the question is whether a preference here imposes a higher bar than our discussion about where we were in the process justifies. And I'm inclined to think it does.
I agree with Jack. The only concern I had with, you know, going resource was the potential for them to be used in publicly disposed accountability, which I think would cause a problem. But I thought that, you know, we had solved that problem at the in-face meeting.
That's still right. I agree.
I just wanted to just raise one point, and you know, I think also a discussion we had back in August was around the issue of endorsing a single measure if there are competing measures. And I guess the only point about that I would raise is that, you know, having the information that there, you know, that there are aligned quality measures may help at that stage. I mean, I agree with everything that's been said. I would just raise that if the, you know, ultimately the objective is to endorse a single measure, that may be useful to know that there are quality measures that are already aligned.
This is Bruce. Would it be satisfactory then to ask for the information about quality measures that are aligned, but not state that there's a preference for such measures? Along the lines of what Jack was saying about, you know, we're at an earlier stage than efficiency measures. These are resource measures. But if there are links to quality measures, why not ask them to provide that information?
Well, if we're not going to consider it, what's the point?
Well, we can consider it.
Then we would be preferring it. I'm a little bit confused here.
Yeah.
So where is it in the criteria that this appears? I'm having trouble finding that.
Yeah.
Well, the other sort of fundamental question here, this is Mary Kay, is, you know, what bigger process is this part of? I mean, I'm completely in agreement that getting to the point where we can accurately and reliably and comparatively measure resource utilization is a big enough hurdle. But, you know, the concern is, as was stated earlier, that these measures will then be applied in a fashion, in a premature fashion, that they will be applied as efficiency measures. And so if we know that the real barrier we're trying to cross with this particular body of work is to be able to do that accurate resource measurement, and the next things will be efficiency or comparative effectiveness or whatever, but that is not what we're accomplishing here, I think that's clearer and purer and a significant body of work. But I think people are just hesitant to...
WROR Employee of the Day.
It's Diane. How about another one of my favorite spots? It's You'll Accompany Me on 105.0 WROR.
Okay, so we just letting these measures loose out there for inappropriate application, I guess, is the concern.
Well, I think that there's a political... This is Paul Rich again. There's a political reality, too, that sometimes we forget that. And these things are going to be criticized as the current soft as simply being economic profiling, perhaps with a little bit more transparency. I think it's the end point is link quality resource use, and I see nothing wrong if the links there use them and giving a preference for those. If we don't, as a robust outcomes measures are developed, these things are going to be useless. You're going to have to create more resources. I frankly am not sympathetic to the we're going to be developing these. I think they should consider quality metrics if they are validated and available.
Yeah, I don't quite. This is Bruce again. The discussion of the adding quality measures is as if they're two measures sort of competing to be approved, and if one has a linkage to quality, then it's more approvable. And I don't necessarily see that as being the case. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't approve a measure that doesn't have links if it's a good resource use measure. So But the linkage to quality is additional information about the measure that we could take into consideration.
This is Sally. I just wanted to respond to a question. I did it in the chat room, but just in case. Currently, this request for the list of quality measures is under the usability criteria.
Right, I found it.
3C, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so all we're asking at this point is to is the criteria is says list the quality measures. The NQF endorsed quality measures known to have been used alongside the resource use measure.
Correct. That's how it's worded in the criteria. I think it's in the paper where we discussed some preferential treatment. So.
And what did this say before?
There before there was a request that measure developers, they're expected to scan the currently endorsed measures and list the ones that are similar to demonstrate that their measure is distinctive from those that are already endorsed. So they're expected to do a little due diligence work ahead of time. It's also 3C of the existing one, but it's not about, you know, what necessarily quality and related to resource use. But they are expected currently to scan the endorsed measurement set, consider the measure that they're thinking about endorsing, and list those that are similar and demonstrate that it's distinctive.
All right, so as the criteria are written right now, there's no, the word preference is not there, right? But there's some discussion of it in the white paper, but the white paper isn't the criteria. The white paper is the white paper. The criteria are the attachment to the white paper.
Correct.
Well, I don't think we want measure developers to feel like they are at a disadvantage if they submit a measure that's not linked to quality.
And we're worried that this is going to, what, reduce the number of submissions, or?
Well, if, as the, I'm sorry, I forgot the name, the lady that spoke earlier said, if this seems like a very high bar, a higher bar than has generally been the case for quality measures that aren't required to be linked to resource measures, then it's an inhibition against developing and submitting measures. I'm not in the measure development business, but I could see that being the case.
Is this something that maybe through the review and I think generally that the measure developers participate or have the opportunity to participate in discussions and questions can be posed to them that, you know, maybe that, you know, if there's a feeling that we need to explore this in some particular measures for whatever reason, maybe it could be done at that stage. And,
if we did that, it would delay the entire project. So right now we need to, you know, to stay on timeline, our hope is to finalize the criteria. Now, the measure developers that we spoke with, the five that we reached out to, did see this 3C, as far as we know. We sent them the links, the evaluation criteria on numerous occasions, and
I wasn't thinking about reaching out to them as far as this question right now, but I was thinking more down the road when we actually have measures that are being reviewed, rather than having it in the criteria here, that if the review panel, you know, wants to explore this, that they could directly with the measure submitters.
This is Barbara Rudolph again from LeapFrog. I just feel like, again, this is another opportunity for more discretion to enter into the sort of decision-making process. And I can tell you that if someone submits a resource use measure and links it to a particular quality measure that other people don't like, they're going to be then at a disadvantage. It could go either way. It could be at a disadvantage because what they're going to see is that package of, you know, resource use and a particular either outcome that draws their hackles or whatever. And it just adds another piece of sort of opportunity for discretion in the process.
Yeah, this is Joe Stefanski. I agree with Barbara. I think that we're spending perhaps a little too much time on this, given the other things that we've got coming in this 45 minutes that are left. If it's a matter of a consensus among the group, perhaps we ought to put some words together here.
Well, so do you want to change the draft words that are in currently in 3C in the criteria, or is the staff proposal okay? I would endorse what the staff proposal asks, which is just to get information if there are existing NQF quality measures, not to indicate how that information will be used.
All right, so this is Bruce. I guess I should ask, is there a consensus view that that language is acceptable as it's been modified by staff?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm in love with it.
I'm good with it, Jeff.
All right, then can we move on?
Sure.
All right. And then let's move on to item 3, the importance criteria.
Yeah,
Steph, do you want to explain the issue there, please?
We got some reaction to the use of the word, in particular, unexplained variation, some commenters, and they included some citations of some work that's been done, noted that it may be prudent and worthwhile for us to evaluate endorsed measures even if the variation is not unexplained. What we were thinking as staff is that perhaps, you know, and that came from several commenters, we could drop the word unexplained and focus on something like high impact or variation. So that's where we are now.
That sounds like a reasonable proposal.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. All right. Okay. Move on. Can you advance the screen? There we go. All right. Testing requirements. Staff, do you want to summarize the comments here as well?
Sure. We got a few comments about the testing requirements. One was a request for clarification on reliability and validity testing, which concurrently there is a project underway that is in final stages that is specifically looking at testing and providing more examples to measure developers. So we will certainly be pulling that in. So we agree with clarifying that and providing examples, and we'll use it. Take from what is approved by the board in the testing guidance document that is report that is almost complete. There is also a question about how we're defining reliability. There's the repeatability of a measure, which does pretty much look at data elements, and then there's a statistical reliability, which is about precision. There is some further guidance on that in the testing guidance report. We're borrowing from what that committee came up with. But there's also some real questions about for resource use measures that there is no gold standard for validity testing. And so what are the expectations in terms of resource use measures and what further guidance might we want to provide? The guidance document does currently say that if you have not done empirical validity testing, that a minimal requirement consideration is that you have done a systematic review of the face and content validity of the measure that you are submitting. And we would apply that as well, but we wanted to get further thoughts on the reliability and validity issue from all of you, and you know, especially as it is specific to resource use measures, not just measures in general. So So, in short, we're in agreement that we do need to provide further clarification. Unfortunately, that guidance document wasn't done at the time we posted, but we will certainly be linking to that document for our users.
Well, this may be a timing issue. When will it be available? Because I'm sure that the developers wouldn't want to develop measures without understanding what those criteria will be in advance.
Yes. So my understanding is it's in revision right now based on CSAC and board input. I think, and Helen may be able to add an exact date, but my anticipation is it will be complete before this call for measures starts. That said, you know, the testing requirements that developers submit, and I think the timing is important, Bruce, there is still the opportunity for the steering committee to weigh the merits of the measure, what is submitted, what type of testing have they done to demonstrate that the measure is measuring what it's intended. So, you know, there is not such a prescriptive approach that NQF has that precludes judgment from the steering committee.
Right, and if I could add something, this is Helen. So the testing task force report was approved by the board of directors, so it is actually completed. And I think we will pull the appropriate language in to make sure it's reflective here. I think in some ways, and Barb may want to weigh in on this a bit, I think it actually potentially is very useful for those who do this kind of measurement because it allows reliability and validity testing at either the measure element or the measure score level. And I think for some of these large developers, the measure score level actually will work better. So I think we'll be able to incorporate that right in since it is finalized.
And what about applicability to resource use measures? I assume that these that this report is focusing on quality measures.
Yes. And, you know, unless there's any expectation that they'd be any different, I think you'd still want to be able to get it, precision of specifications, reliability and validity of the estimate.
I think this is Mary Kay, and I think I made this point last summer. As in some ways, in resource use measurement, you know, the processes that you use are almost more accounting than scientific in many respects. You know, so things that you'd want to be able to do on inputs to care for a given episode would have to do with, you know, the stability of a database and how reliably, you know, things are coded and things like that, as opposed to how scientifically valid the measurement is, for example, for a particular lab value. So it's just there. I know it's probably going to be a hybrid of those types of measures with the more traditional clinical measures, in, you know, for when you're looking at impact or outcome. But it's almost more of a business accounting set of issues for a goodly portion of this, I would think.
Well, that makes sense to me. But what also makes sense is that this report isn't to be considered a gold standard for measure for the validity and reliability of resource use measures. That there's, I think, Sally, you were saying that there's still room for judgment depending on what the developers submit, on whether they pass the criteria that we're going to evaluate ourselves. Right. I mean,
yes. Correct. And you know, when you think about the judgments, like, oh, they minimally met this, partially, completely, and you do that across many of the different components in the evaluation criteria, and then there's a give and take and determining on whether the measure is ready for endorsement, except for importance. If a measure is not determined to be important by the experts of the steering committee, you wouldn't review the rest of it.
Any further discussion on item four and the sub points below it?
This is Barbara Rudolph. The only one thing about item four I think might be an issue is sort of the kinds of testing that either the grouper, underlying groupers and other kinds of things, what the requirements are going to be there, because those are tools that most people use, whether it's APR DRGs or other kinds of ECGs or and what the, if the developer is using that in their measure, what's their responsibility for, you know, the reliability and validity of those tools?
And so what's the answer? You posed the question.
I mean, to me, it's very difficult because it's like, for example, if you were going to use the SF36 as a component of a measure or something, you know, and would you as a non-developer of the SF36 be required to, you know, test the reliability and validity of that tool? So I don't know. I mean,
Well, I assume not, because you could cite at least 50 articles where it's been tested in different settings.
Right, but I think it's probably not quite the same with the groupers, you know, that they have undergone testing, but it's fairly complicated, and a lot of them are based on clinical judgment where they've had experts come in and, you know, determine the groupings. I just don't know. I know that it's difficult to, you know, get that far into the weeds sometimes when your role is different. So.
Okay. Any reaction, members, to this?
Well, I think it's, you know, the point I was trying to make about some of these data points being different than standard, you know, clinical endpoints like the SF36, which does have a body of literature behind it, doesn't mean that there aren't gold standards, but the gold standards may not exist in medicine as much as they exist in business. You know, there's accounting standards and underwriting standards and things like that. So I think that it's very important to have validity testing. It's just that people evaluating the measures may need to use different kinds of approaches or tools to evaluate the measures. And so, and I know that there are things, you know, like you're discussing, that are utilized, and there's some level of evaluation, but probably not anything close to the concept of gold yet, but still valuable, because we're going to have to define episodes in some way or another, or that we won't have any basis for measurement or comparison. And so, you know, I think that is a significant issue in how we apply this work we're doing to specific measures.
Now, this is Bill Rich. You know, not having a gold standard is not a reason not to show some validity testing to show repeatability and statistical reliability. I think, you know, to remove that, I don't think makes any sense. We reviewed the robust literature critical of the reliability and repeatability of the current group. And so I don't think we can proscribe or advise exactly what the testing should be, but to eliminate it, I think is a mistake.
I'm looking at the scientific acceptability criteria. Are there any particular criteria that relate to this issue that we're discussing now that could potentially be looked at, modified, if not, or maybe not?
Well, I think there were some slight modifications to 2C,
uh-huh.
And I think those are fine. I don't think there's really too much that we can do,
okay,
or should do beyond that to meet this this concern, other than to say if there is additional information can be brought from that other project and that can be brought to bear, then great. But I don't think there's additional wordsmithing here for the criteria to respond to this.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, then let me call the question for the committee. Can we move on then from this issue to the next? Are we in close enough to a consensus that we don't need to do any wordsmithing? Okay?
Yes.
Fine. Yes.
Okay. Then we're up to item 5. Staff, would you kind of summarize the issue here, please?
Sure. There were several
commenters who wanted the steering committee to reconsider the first and last module, which do not currently exist on the quality parallel as far as being subject to evaluation. And those are the data protocol, which is instructions on how to clean your data, et cetera, and the reporting module. And basically the comments stated that for both of those, it requires flexibility that can adjust to the user depending on their data, their implementation, purpose, et cetera, and so that it may be worthwhile to think of this in a different way, whether or not requiring it at all, or to request principles and guidelines, et cetera, but not have them as part of the specification evaluation.
So which specific criteria is this referring to? 3D?
It gets intertwined in different parts of the requirements. So we're asking them to provide specifications, and that's under the measures well-defined and specified, and we are requesting the data protocol and the reporting modules to be specified, and then it would be subject to validity and reliability testing, et cetera. So the comment is more about not having these required as specifications so that they can be flexible to the user. So if a user were to change slightly their data protocol steps, because their data are different, they could no longer say they're necessarily using the endorsed measure because they have veered away from the specification that is endorsed. So the.
But I guess my question is, I think the only thing we can really do here, accomplish here today, is to change the language in the criteria. And I'm trying to figure out what language would we try to change to respond to this.
Again, it's more about what we require as a specification, and currently we're saying that these are part of the specification, and so the specification then is subject to all parts of the evaluation criteria.
This is Ashley, and Paul, some of the language that we use to describe and expand on what we're asking for in the criteria is in the notes section of that Appendix B, so if you go to the end of that appendix document, there's notes, and for 2A, you should see, or in the scientific acceptability section, you should see some additional language about what we are asking for in terms of specifications. So if we decide to change it, it would probably be more so reflected there than the actual text of the actual criteria in 2A in the table, what you see.
Where do these modules appear? Are they in the on the form that the developers have to fill out when they submit?
There's a cover sheet that will accompany as an FAQ, and it's in the white paper. So it's the five modules, and we describe them and provide examples. So they don't appear in the evaluation criteria itself, but we do anticipate having it linked and making sure it's front and center, and it's part of how we've described it completely of how we've described it in the white paper.
Okay. Well,
so this was maybe in that data, asking them how do you prepare the data for analysis, that sort of stuff, which are in the measure specifications, but not in the criteria.
They're not in the criteria because we evaluate the entire specification. So if we say the data protocol is part of the specification, that means we're going to pull it through the evaluation criteria. So the question is, do we really want the data protocol to be submitted as a specification, which means that there's one way to do it for the spec, or does the committee, are they interested in just making sure that the developer is providing well-thought-out, tested guidance to their users? And this is similar and parallel to the discussion that the committee had prior to the posting of this document about the reporting module, that we need to have flexibility, and perhaps what should be submitted is well-thought-out principles and guidance that is available to users and not specifications.
Correct. I mean, this is Barb Rudolph. I think the issue here is really, I mean, with that level of detail, if you were going to bring that through and say, okay, you have to select, do this particular data cleaning function, you have to do this or that. And if you don't actually have data that contains that, you're not following the specifications. Or, you know, it's like I think it's really too detailed to be a sort of mandatory element of the measure. People's data differs, whether you have an all-payer claims database where maybe you have more things like lab values or something that you have in addition to a regular, hospital discharge database or whatever. I don't see how you can possibly bring those things in as mandatory sort of items that if you're going to use the endorsed measure, you have to follow these specifications exactly, because it's not going to be possible. I mean, to me, it's a form of guidance. Yes, it's very helpful if you're going to use an endorsed measure to have that detail. But there are going to be plenty of times when there's going to be enough differences in data sources, et cetera, that you're not going to be able to follow exactly those kind of detailed specifications.
What you just said is maybe the same thing that is in the comments that appear in the submission form under the data protocol, where this commenter said NQFs consider an approach similar to the reporting module where the SC evaluates well-stated principles or guidelines but not baked-in specifications.
Right.
So that would require some change to the description of the data protocol rather than saying what are the data preparation steps, to say what are the principles used or what are the guidelines you use for preparing the data.
Yeah. Or just to be able to make them available as part of the measure developer's responsibility. You know, if you look at like codes for clinical conditions, that kind of thing, measure developers make that available, but is it considered a mandated data element if, you know, it's not available in your data? I don't know.
So, staff, if we were to, the steering committee members agree in principle with that the language in question should be stated as guidance, not specification. Would you know what to do here?
We would have to think through how that would, you know, work, but that would indicate to us to take that out as part of the specification. So we would continue throughout the next month to think about what that would mean. Is it a URL link so that the steering committee can see that guidance is being provided, et cetera? But we would work through the exact detail of what that means and circle back with the steering committee.
Okay. Would there be any effect on the language of the criteria, or you would have to look at that?
We would clarify it in the notes and then in the white paper potentially, as well as, you know, an additional piece of information that these may be areas that require flexibility, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, and if I could just weigh in here, this is Helen. I mean, at least as I see it, the components of the resource use measure in terms of the currently stated resource use criteria here really get that they have to be, the various components have to be clearly described. So I would think, you know, the real question for the committee is whether simply having a URL that they actually did them is enough, or is part of the criteria actually that it's not necessarily part of the specifications, but as part of your understanding the quality of this metric, that you actually can look towards how clearly described these components are, because it clearly has implications for what we ask on the submission form.
Any reaction, subcommittee members, or committee? Sorry, committee members.
Hi, this is Dolores. To me, it seems like the question here is whether changes in these areas actually substantially change the measure. I mean, does it give you a different measure if you use a different data protocol or if you report the measure in a different way? And if it does, then you know, I think it probably needs to be part of the specifications. I think it's going to be really hard to find. I don't know that anyone would ever be able to use any of the endorsed measures if we're limiting it that much. I think some flexibility is needed, and I think that using guidance is better. But I do think it's important for it to not just be a checkbox, yeah, we did this, but that it is well thought out and it's providing, you know, guidance to others. But I think the use case is really critical in determining how you're going to do it. And if there's only one use case that's endorsed, it's going to really limit the use of the measure.
That's helpful.
All right, let me call then the committee. If the staff are able to implement this principle of flexibility, but not to the point where it's simply checking a box, but actually providing real information in response to guidance language, would that be satisfactory? Anyone who would say it's not satisfactory?
Well, I think the issue is, to me, it seems like, I think there's a good point made that in the comments that if we're too prescriptive about which data source is being used, then it makes it a measure that's flexible is not going to do well because, you know, it's not going to be able to describe all possible ways it can be used. So I think that there are a few things in the submission items that could be made a little bit more general, ask general questions, and that would work and that would meet this need.
Okay. Staff, again, are you feeling, based on this discussion, comfortable as knowing what to do?
Yes.
Okay.
So it has, you know, what I'm hearing is this is important. We're in agreement that it can be removed as a baked-in specification, but that it still needs to be provided so that the steering committee can make appropriate judgments about how well thought out the measure is in its implementation. So
the only thing I would just observe is I don't see a lot of things that are really baked in, and I would resist throwing out some of the questions that are asked about, you know, how do you handle missing claims? What are the exclusion and inclusion criteria? How do you handle zero claims, $0 claims? Those things still need to be in there. And that's specifically where the baked in specification comment came. And so I don't think those are really baked in issues. I think they help us understand what the measure does.
Any other thoughts on that? I mean, we could pull those in, you know, we could disentangle this more, but I'd like to hear from other steering committee members if that's what others would like us to do.
Well, I have, that was Paul that just had the caveat, and I think I agree with his caveat. So if there's ways, again, of creating more flexibility than presently exists and still maintain some of that specificity, I think that would be desirable. But again, we have to ask the question that would staff know how to do that? And if people are in general agreement with what Paul just said, maintain that level of specificity.
Agree with Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, this is just one thought there. I think that this is Helen again. I think there's elements of what Paul just listed out that to me go to the precision of the specifications. And there are some we're talking about that are more protocol-driven, which I think are different. I think we need to tease it out and maybe bring it back to you just for a quick look if we've teased it out appropriately.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think that in both modules 1 and 5, there are some parts that maybe need to be part of the specifications, but others that could be more guidance. And so then we may need to kind of clarify that further.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion of item 5? Does that your last item, or are there more?
There's more. Just give me a second. My computer is...
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Resource use composite measures. Would you summarize the issues here for us again, please?
Okay. It's our understanding on the composite measure that we're not talking about looking at the same clinical population or event and then looking at different types of resource use measures. What we interpreted these comments are was to, the composite measures that look across what would be different types of resource use measurements, so a diabetes and an acute low back pain, and provides instructions on how to roll it up for one provider, for example, as well as a composite measure that may include quality. So that's actually getting to efficiency. I read both of those in the comments. And for most of the comments, what I heard was that NQF and the steering committee may want to spend a little bit more time thinking through the intricacies of evaluating a composite measure and perhaps do that at a later date and move forward. Though I will say one other commenter did state that in their impression, the composite measures were the most important. So we got a little bit of conflicting input on that. And we are also currently looking at approaches for composite quality measures in more detail. So we wanted to open up whether or not we should be restrictive and not look to the more complicated composite measures this first time out and, you know, learn from what we're doing now and take an opportunity to think about how we might evaluate those type of measures more adequately, if anything needs to change, et cetera. So your input is welcome.
Discussion. Just for my clarification, a composite, if we're measuring different resources, let's say used in an episode of care, and aggregating them up to dollars, that's not a composite measure, right? A composite measure is somewhat more complex than that.
That's how we're thinking about it, so that if it's, you know, diabetes and then it's including inpatient evaluation and management, et cetera, that's not a composite measure. That's a more comprehensive resource use measure.
This is Jack. I agree with your suggestion that they keep it this first time out of the chute to keep it more straightforward without trying to get into the complexity of composite measures before we understand how we're doing single kind of focus measures.
Agree.
Okay. I'm going to call this a consensus unless anyone objects. Okay. Do we need to have any other discussion of the elements of item 6? Okay. Let's go on to item 7. Reporting module. Sally, do you want to summarize this one as well?
This is number 7?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So there was some, you know, this kind of goes back to the flexibility question, but the reporting module is of high interest, as everybody knows, and some expressing preference that it would be good to have very specific attribution approaches that are standardized, and others really pushing us to keep this flexible. Again, I think given what we said before, the committee would still want to see well-thought-out guidance being provided, which could include testing, I presume, but just a different approach in evaluating it. So it really gets back to how we're thinking about this. Now, I will note when they submit their measures outside of attribution, we do request information like level of measurement analysis, et cetera. So I think that gets to the first point. The second is really we're getting contradictory comments. Just wanted to bring it to your attention.
This is Barb Rudolph. Just from having gone through a whole series of RFPs for people providing efficiency metrics, the depending on, you know, the use of the measure, the attribution was different, you know, could be different in most of the main players in sort of the commercial applications. So I think we need to have some flexibility about what attribution needs to be at this point until we have a better sense for what all the players are using.
This is David. I would agree. I'm right now in the process of looking at various attribution models that we can use for some of our provider profiling, and it's in one sense, it's kind of simple. If you look at our episode data, somewhere between 60 and 70% of the episodes only have a single physician involved, so you don't have any, it's unambiguous in that case. But the episodes that tend to have more physicians involved and you get, and the different attribution methods such as cost versus counts and things like that make a bigger difference, and they make a bigger difference on these expensive, complicated episodes. And I don't really think the industry yet knows what the best approach is, so what I would expect the measure developers to be able to do is to talk about recommendations or different alternatives, and that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, this is Bruce. I agree with that.
You know, we now have, and when we ask people, this is Paul again, the measure for under measure reporting, the way it's worded is if there is the measure uses a single approach. So perhaps that could be expanded to just to say, you know, if there are alternatives, explain if there are alternative attribution rules that are possible to use in the measure.
I think
if you can dial the attribution to a different threshold, then explain how you do that. Because right now it seems to suggest there's only one way to do it for each measure.
I think it's just most important it's absolutely clear how they're doing it. And then I think this is one of the places where, the robustness of the data sources is very important, because you can be in systems where you're doing a attribution methodology, but the such basic things as roster validity and, accuracy, it's just not there. So, I mean, this is an interplay with being very clear about how you're attributing things and how robust the data is you're utilizing to do whatever process you're using.
This is Bruce. I agree with all that, but is that the measure developer's job? I mean, I think it's useful for the measure developer to say, here are some ways that attribution might be determined, but I could certainly see there very reasonable differences depending on what the user intends to use the measure for.
Absolutely. It just needs to be clear what they're doing and where they're getting their data.
Okay.
Yes. I agree. I don't think there can be a standardized attribution.
Okay. General agreement or consensus among members?
Yes.
Okay. And with the suggestion of some modification of language along Paul's suggestions?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Hi, this is Ashley. I just want to do a time check. We're at about 5 to 7 minutes to the end of the call. This is our last last theme, but we do have to allow some time for public comment, so just
okay.
To kind of give you a heads up. Thanks.
Wait a minute. We missed one.
This one confuses me. So, staff, you try to be succinct, but please explain the issue. The idea of would we endorse a measure for a restricted period of time within which it could be tested? Is that the idea?
Ali, do you want to explain?
Yeah, sure. Some measures, they are in earlier stages of implementation and therefore may have not had the opportunity to execute fully tested components of the measure, but they've been well specified, et cetera. They still go through all the evaluation criteria. For some of these quality type of measures, we do then at times allow for them to get what we call time-limited endorsement, in which we give the measure developers 12 months to submit testing data back to the steering committee, at which time the validity and reliability is evaluated using empirical information. We would expect there probably should be some face and content validity that has occurred. We had initially taken this off the table because we had defined resource use measures as automatically complex, and there's the NQF policy that complex measures are not eligible for time-limited endorsement. There was some feedback from quite a few people who noted, you know, not all resource use measures may be complex. Some that are very narrow may not need risk adjustment, et cetera. So we wanted to open this up for input.
Yeah, this is Barb Rudolph, and some of the comments from the Purchaser Disclosure Group include some examples of these types of measures. For example, I'll just give one, a simple per capita resource use measure such as emergency room visits per 1,000 population. There are some very simple resource use measures that should not necessarily have to go through the same that could be made available right away for time-limited endorsement, like some of the other quality measures that are. So we just felt that to label them all as very complicated really was inappropriate and took them out of the loop for longer than would need be if they were to have to get fully tested before implementation, before endorsement.
Okay. Any discussion?
This is Lisa Graybert. I am all in favor of not recognizing time limit endorsement for resource use measures at all.
Yeah, this is Joe Stefanski. I agree with Lisa on this one, in that having done work on emergency department measurement and on per capita usage, that is not a very simple topic, as some people might believe it to be.
Dolores, I agree with that, Joe, and I also I think it's kind of dangerous to do time-limited endorsement for these types of measures.
Again, I'd like to object because I think we are all the way through here setting higher bars for resource use than we do for even the outcome measures in the quality arena. And I just feel like this is, I know, you know, that there's concerns that somehow there's going to be misuse occurring, but I feel like it's really unfortunate that the thing that's really important to all of us right now is the cost of care, and both from the purchaser community and from the consumer community, we need these measures, and we need them now. Okay. We've waited a long time for this.
Yeah, and this is Helen. Just to put in context why that complex issue is important, about a year ago, the board narrowed the funnel of what could be brought in as time-limited endorsed measures to measures where there's a clear gap, a legislative mandate, and a measures that are not complex. We specifically cited composites or risk-adjusted outcomes as being complex. And I guess the issue for this committee is, you know, these measures made it seem many, too many, as fairly complex as well. So I think that's just to put in context that comment.
Well, here, this is Bruce. This is certainly not going to be the first and the last call for measures and resource use. So presumably there would be an opportunity for measures that aren't fully developed to be developed and then respond to another submission. On the other hand, if these some measures are sufficiently simple that face validity might be sufficient, I don't know why they couldn't be submitted. But not necessarily for time-limited approval. Any thoughts?
Well, it's the testing that's the issue here.
Right.
And the testing of both reliability and validity can take some time and measure.
No, I hear you, but if I guess what I'm saying is if it's a measure that requires that kind of testing, then perhaps it should be completed and then respond to a subsequent call for measures.
So the concept is, I'm not sure I'm quite tracking this whole thing.
Yeah,
if it's a time-limited endorsement, then it doesn't need to have been thoroughly tested?
Correct.
So I think that, so this is so, such a controversial area, I think that would be not a good place to start with resource measures, that whatever we endorse would have to be thoroughly tested. Death panels and all that.
Yeah, this is Jeff. I would agree with that last comment.
I'm going to object all the way through, so I just won't say any more. But I just feel like, the bar is being raised beyond where it is for the other measures. I suffered through 600 or so measures coming through on the quality side, and we have really set a high bar here. So
we feel your pain.
Okay, well, this is Bruce. It sounds like this is not a consensus, but at least a majority view that we wouldn't permit time-limited approval.
Yeah, this is Kurt. One of the things I might say is, as we go through, if we're finding that few measures come up, if we're seeing some things that really look attractive or that have a lot of potential, we might want to reconsider that later, depending on how many submissions we get. But I agree with you, it's a balance between wanting to stimulate creativity and find things that are useful, and yet, I mean, a lot of people are going to start running after these measures and doing a lot of work for them, and then to the end of 3 years, if they say, "Oh, guess we aren't going to do that anymore," it could be really, it could create a lot of problems.
This is Dolores. I mean, I actually think that the testing is really important, and if we're going to make any changes, I would suggest looking at the testing criteria, which I actually think is probably a pretty unrealistic bar. I know we talked about that before, but I think the testing bar, to expect all that kind of testing on every part of every module, is really, that's the barrier right there. And so I think testing is really important, but maybe that's just not a realistic bar to expect that level of testing. So anyway.
Any further discussion? All right. Well, I think I like this. The last suggestion is to give ourselves some flexibility, depending on what kinds of measures get submitted, to encourage the developers to go further based on what's sent in to us. So we may, it's conceivable we may get a measure that we think is not fully tested and therefore not endorsed, but give encouragement to the developer to complete the testing. I don't know if that would be seen as very I don't know how that would be seen within the testing community, but with the measure development community, but at least it would be a way for us to, again, encourage the development of new measures.
Yeah, and in general, it's so difficult for us to figure out whether measures are fully tested at the outset that we probably rely on your input anyway.
Okay. Any further discussion? I know we're at the 1:30 hour, and we staff advise. I think we need the committee to make one further collective judgment on whether we can go forward with these criteria. Is that true? Staff?
Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
All right. So as chair, and I guess Doris is still not here, we've discussed a number of different issues and with some implications for changing the language of the criteria and certainly changing some of the language in the white paper and making a reasonable assumption that the staff can implement those changes. Can I call the committee to reach a collective decision that these can go forward? And I know we have at least one person objecting on one issue. Any discussion? Okay. All right, then, NQF staff, as chair, I'm going to reach a judgment that the committee has decided that with the modifications that we've talked about, the criteria can go forward. You said that you're going to supply us with some additional information that we can look at, but as it stands right now, you have a go.
And we will send you, once we make the language updates, we will send you what we end up with. We are under a really tight timeline in terms of our turnaround to get information to CSAC for evaluation, for them to begin to reviewing the materials prior to the November 3rd or 4th date.
Great.
So just keep in mind, things may be coming really rapid fire, but we will keep you guys in the loop and make sure we send you any materials that we need feedback on or approval and so forth.
Okay.
Can I, if there's no other discussion, I'd like to just open it up for a minute or two for public comment since we're a little bit over time, but I do want to give an opportunity to do that.
Sure.
And Nicole, if you're there, could we open it up to those on the participants line who may have questions or comments for the steering committee?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for question or comment, and we'll pause for a moment. There appears to be no questions from our participants at this time.
Okay. We did have some additional slides in terms of next steps. I'll just go briefly through that. We've talked a little bit about the CSAC review. We'll be updating, coming up on November 3rd, we'll be updating the white paper per some of your comments here. There are a lot more comments that we didn't address. Our call today primarily focused on the comments for the criteria, just so that we could get that moving to the CSAC. Sally and I were going to regroup and decide how best to address the remainder of the comments. It may mean scheduling an additional conference call, but we'll keep you in the loop on that and let you know what the next steps will be for that. As we mentioned before, we plan to have additional webinars, not only for the measure developers, but as we enter phase 2 of the project to begin the consensus development process part of the project, we will be scheduling an orientation for steering committee members as well as the additional TAP members that are nominated to orient them to the process and to the project as we move into phase 2. So stay tuned, and on the next, I guess, month or so, we're wrapping things up with the white paper and preparing for the next phase of the project. So thanks to everyone for joining and for staying on these extra 5 minutes. If you have any questions or emails or any questions or comments, feel free to email Sally or I. Realize we're trying to wrap things up pretty quickly here. If there's any lingering issues that you feel like didn't get addressed, please by all means email us or call us.
Thank you.
Final comments?
So right now we don't have any specific next scheduled event.
No, we're probably going to end up scheduling an additional conference call to discuss the other comments that were more focused on, not necessarily directly related to the criteria, but are generally related to different parts of the white paper. And we're going to regroup and figure out how best to go about doing that. But it will likely result in an additional conference call. We'll email you guys with probably another link for availability to determine when that will be.
But it would be
sometime before, like probably mid-November, since the paper is due end of November. So we want to try to wrap that up pretty soon.
And there was some mention during the call of that there was some idea that you would send us something else for review somewhere soon in the process.
Yes, potentially if they're the criteria as we make any edits, if we get to a point where we feel like we need confirmation from committee members on some of the edits that we've made, that may be something that comes out to you. Sally, anything else you can think of?
Yeah, we'll certainly send you the white paper prior to the submission, and definitely we'll start setting up webinars to kick off phase 2. But right now, as we wrap things up, besides the evaluation criteria input that we've got here, it'll be the white paper and then requests to start scheduling the webinars to gear up for phase 2.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay,
I think
that's it. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
We will conclude today's conference. You may now disconnect.